So we're going to have our talk now, and we're going to look at that reading from Philippians 4. I've spoken to some of you in this time, and I know how your last 6 months have been. Some of you I haven't, and so I won't know, but I know it's not been an easy time for people. Perhaps for many of us, it's felt anything but a time of peace. In the words of Boris Johnson, we've needed to fight back against this virus to shelter our economy from even greater damage, to protect the most vulnerable, to safeguard our NHS, to save lives. In our daily life, many things threaten our sense of peace: danger, war, noise, turmoil, stress, panic, anxiety, change of all sorts, illness, bereavement, suffering, facing the limits of growing older or of health problems, difficult relationships with colleagues, or fallouts or arguments with relatives and friends. On a wider scale, natural disasters. We've had the fires in California and India and Australia. We've had plagues of locusts in East Africa. We've had earthquakes in Turkey. We've had floods in India and Indonesia. We've even had snow turning green in Antarctica, that beautiful creation that we sung of in Val's song, under threat. Everywhere we've seen the impacts worldwide of the coronavirus pandemic. So many things in 2020 that could rob our peace. And yet we read in that passage today, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I wonder if you're feeling guarded, kept by the peace of God. Paul, who wrote that book, was probably thinking of the garrisons set up around towns in the Roman Empire. They were there to protect from uprisings, with sentinels posted to keep the peace. We are garrisoned, surrounded, and protected by the peace of God. His peace isn't freedom from all those things that might take it away. It's about standing firm in the middle of them. It's an inner peace. It's a security in the face of dangers and disturbances. It's a trust in the one who created and sustains the universe, and the one who unreservedly wants the best for each and every one of us. It's a humility to depend on the one who is beyond ourselves. Imagine a big burly fireman carrying someone through the flames of a burning house, or a parent carrying a child across a fast-flowing river. Imagine being held through danger. That's the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guarding and keeping us, our minds and hearts, our thoughts, our wills, our purposes, and the actions that result from them. They're all protected by that peace of God. It's a peace where everything works for our highest good. Paul says in that verse, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That begs us to look back and see, and what went before. Well, previously, Paul's described things which contribute to establishing that peace of God in our lives. Firstly, he called us to rejoice in the Lord. And we come to this service and we've sung our songs of praise, and we're going to sing some more songs that have particular meaning to those that chose them today. And Paul is exhorting us to rejoice always. Now, you might be thinking, well, it's all right for him. I can't rejoice in my current circumstances. But Paul was writing that letter, not having a gay old time, but in prison, awaiting possible death by the Roman authorities. And still he can say, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Wow. Remembering who God is and all he's done for his people, all he provides us with daily, counting our blessings, naming them one by one, helps us stand on that rock which doesn't move, even if the storms are raging all around us. When Jesus, we heard the story this morning, was asleep in the boat on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm, his disciples were terrified of drowning and they woke him up. But Jesus just stood up and told the wind and the waves to be still. And it was completely calm. The terrified disciples declared, wow, even the wind and the waves obey him. We're not kept in peace because we're in control. We're kept in peace because we're in his control. Whatever our circumstances, we can rejoice because God is with us. Secondly, in the bit above, Paul told us, let your gentleness be evident to all. If we're having a bad time ourselves, sometimes we lash out at other people. Paul is calling us not to do that. He's saying, be magnanimous, be giving people, be patient, be soft, be modest, be forbearing whatever you're going through. Overcome your own grumpiness. Don't let us respond to those that irritate us, difficult people, with anger, but with the same undeserved kindness and mercy that God shows us, whatever we're like. So we move beyond just pure justice to mercy. Thirdly, Paul gives us an antidote for anxiety. He says, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There's a children's chorus that says, nothing is too big for him, nothing is too small. God can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big that God can't handle it. He created the whole universe. Nothing is too small that he doesn't care about it. We can talk to him about anything and everything. He cares if you haven't had a phone call for a few days. He cares if you've said the wrong thing to someone and you're feeling terrible about it. He cares if your job's not going well at the moment. Well, not there at all for some. He cares if you don't feel well, physically or mentally. He cares about every major event in your life and every small detail. Everything that matters to you matters to him because it matters to you and he loves you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a peace which is indeed beyond our understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. It's like God's love. It's too wide, too high, too deep, too long for us to ever measure it. It's not an achievable peace for us to do ourselves by anything we think or do or reason. It's a gift that comes in Jesus Christ. The smile of God reflected in the believer, said somebody called Hendrickson. Our wrongdoing has broken our union with God and disrupted our peace, but God restores that communion and peace with him by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. So we're reconciled back into a relationship with God, and that gives us a true peace, a peace not as the world gives, a peace not only with God but with ourselves and with one another. The Lord is near. He desires friendship with each one of us. And if we entrust ourselves to this God of peace, and we walk with him, and we talk with him, and we dwell daily in his presence with thanksgiving, whatever's going on in our lives, we can receive his promise that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I pray and I trust that you will know that peace today and through the coming days.